The History of Artificial Intelligence. The idea of mechanical beings has long fascinated inventors, engineers, mathematicians, and dreamers. From the Tin Man in The Wizard of Oz, to the childlike robots of Spielberg's Artificial Intelligence, AI, to the murderous robots of The Terminator, the idea of machines that act and think like people has fascinated us. In Greek mythology, the god Vulcan forged mechanical handmaidens of gold and three-legged tables that could move under their own power. As early as 400 BC, the Greek mathematician Archytas of Tarentum wrote about the possibility of making a robot bird propelled by steam power. In the 1st century AD, Hero of Alexandria, credited with designing the first machine based on steam, designed automatons, one of them with the ability to talk, according to legend. 900 years ago, Al-Jazari designed and constructed automatic machines such as water clocks, kitchen appliances, and musical instruments powered by water. In 1495, the great Renaissance Italian artist and scientist, Leonardo da Vinci, drew diagrams of a robot knight that could sit up, wave its arms, and move its head and jaw. Historians believe that this was the first realistic design of a humanoid machine. The first crude but functioning robot was built in 1738 by Jacques de Vaucanson, who made an android that could play the flute, as well as a mechanical duck. The word robot comes from the 1920 Czech play RUR by playwright Karel Čapek. Robot means drudgery in the Czech language and labor in Slovak. In the play, a factory called Rossum's Universal Robots creates an army of robots to perform menial labor. Unlike ordinary machines, however, these robots are made of flesh and blood. Eventually, the world economy becomes dependent on these robots. But the robots are badly mistreated and finally rebel against their human masters, killing them off. In their rage, however, the robots kill all the scientists who can repair and create new robots, thereby dooming themselves to extinction. In the end, two special robots discover that they have the ability to reproduce and the potential to become a new robot Adam and Eve. Robots were also the subject of one of the earliest and most expensive silent movies ever made, Metropolis, directed by Fritz Lang in 1927 in Germany. The story is set in the year 2026, and the working class has been condemned to work underground in wretched, squalid factories, while the ruling elite play above ground. A beautiful woman, Maria, has earned the trust of the workers, but the ruling elite fear that one day she might lead them to revolt. So they ask an evil scientist to make a robot copy of Maria. Eventually, the plot backfires because the robot leads the workers to revolt against the ruling elite and bring about the collapse of the social system. Artificial intelligence, or AI, is different from the previous technologies we have discussed so far in that the fundamental laws that underpin it are still poorly understood. Although physicists have a good understanding of Newtonian mechanics, Maxwell's theory of light, relativity, and the quantum theory of atoms and molecules, the basic laws of intelligence are still shrouded in mystery. The Newton of AI probably has not yet been born. But mathematicians and computer scientists remain undaunted. To them, it is only a matter of time before a thinking machine walks out of the laboratory. The most influential person in the field of AI, a visionary who helped to lay the cornerstone of AI research, was the great British mathematician Alan Turing. It was Turing who laid the groundwork of the entire computer revolution. He visualized a machine, since called the Turing machine, that consisted of just three elements: an input tape, an output tape, and a central processor, such as a Pentium chip, that could perform a precise set of operations. From this, he was able to codify the laws of computing machines and precisely determine their ultimate power and limitations. Today, all digital computers obey the rigorous laws laid down by Turing. The architecture of the entire digital world owes a great debt to Turing. Turing also contributed to the foundation of mathematical logic. In 1931, the Viennese mathematician Kurt Gödel shocked the world of mathematics by proving that there are true statements in arithmetic that can never be proven within the axioms of arithmetic. For example, the Goldbach conjecture of 1742, that any even integer greater than 2 can be written as the sum of two prime numbers is still unproven after over 2.5 centuries, and may in fact be unprovable. Gödel's revelation shattered the 2,000-year-old dream, dating back to the Greeks, of proving all true statements in mathematics. Gödel showed that there will always be true statements in mathematics that are just beyond our reach. Mathematics, far from being the complete and perfect edifice dreamed of by the Greeks, was shown to be incomplete. Turing added to this revolution by showing that it was impossible to know in general whether a Turing machine would take an infinite amount of time to perform certain mathematical operations. But if a computer takes an infinite amount of time to compute something, it means that whatever you're asking the computer to compute is not computable. Thus, Turing proved that there were true statements in mathematics that are incomputable, that is, forever beyond the reach of computers, no matter how powerful. During World War II, Turing's pioneering work on code breaking arguably saved the lives of thousands of Allied troops and influenced the outcome of the war. The Allies were unable to decode the secret Nazi code encrypted by a machine called the Enigma. So Turing and his colleagues were asked to build a machine that would break the Nazi code. Turing's machine was called the Bomb and was ultimately successful. Over 200 of his machines were in operation by the end of the war. As a result, the Allies could read secret Nazi transmissions and hence fool the Nazis about the date and place of the final invasion of Germany. Historians have since debated precisely how pivotal Turing's work was in the planning of the invasion of Normandy, which finally led to Germany's defeat. After the war, Turing's work was classified by the British government. As a result, his pivotal contributions were unknown to the public. Instead of being hailed as a war hero who helped turn the tide of World War II, Turing was hounded to death. One day, his home was burglarized, and he called the police. Unfortunately, the police found evidence of his homosexuality and arrested him. Turing was then ordered by the court to be injected with sex hormones, which had a disastrous effect, causing him to grow breasts and causing him great mental anguish. He committed suicide in 1954 by eating an apple laced with cyanide. According to one rumor, the logo of the Apple Corporation, an apple with a bite taken out of it, pays homage to Turing. Today, Turing is probably best known for his Turing test. Tired of all the fruitless, endless philosophical discussion about whether machines can think and whether they have a soul, he tried to introduce rigor and precision into discussions about artificial intelligence by devising a concrete test. Place a human and a machine in two sealed boxes, he suggested. You are allowed to address questions to each box. If you are unable to tell the difference between the responses of the human and the machine, then the machine has passed the Turing test. Simple computer programs have been written by scientists, such as ELIZA, that can mimic conversational speech and hence fool most unsuspecting people into believing they are speaking to a human. Most human conversations, for example, use only a few hundred words and concentrate on a handful of topics. But so far, no computer program has been written that can fool people who are specifically trying to determine which box contains the human and which contains the machine. Turing himself conjectured that by the year 2000, given the exponential growth of computer power, a machine could be built that would fool 30% of the judges in a 5-minute test. A small army of philosophers and theologians has declared that it is impossible to create true robots that can think like us. John Searle, a philosopher at the University of California at Berkeley, proposed the Chinese Room test to prove that AI is not possible. In essence, Searle argues that while robots may be able to pass certain forms of the Turing test, they can do so only because they blindly manipulate symbols without the slightest understanding of what they mean. Imagine you are sitting inside the box and you don't understand a word of Chinese. Assume you have a book that allows you to rapidly translate Chinese and manipulate its characters. If a person asks you a question in Chinese, you merely manipulate these strange-looking characters without understanding what they mean and give credible answers. The essence of his criticism boils down to the difference between syntax and semantics. Robots can master the syntax of a language, for example, manipulating its grammar, its formal structure, etc. but not its true semantics, for example, what the words mean. Robots can manipulate words without understanding what they mean. This is somewhat similar to talking on the phone to an automatic voice message machine, where you have to punch in 1, 2, etc. for each response. The voice at the other end is perfectly capable of digesting your numerical responses, but is totally lacking in any understanding. Physicist Roger Penrose of Oxford, too, believes that artificial intelligence is impossible. Mechanical beings that can think and possess human consciousness are impossible according to the laws of the quantum theory. The human brain, he claims, is so far beyond any possible creation of the laboratory that creating human-like robots is an experiment that is doomed to fail. He argues that in the same way that Gödel's incompleteness theorem proved that arithmetic is incomplete, the Heisenberg uncertainty principle will prove that machines are incapable of human thought. Many physicists and engineers, however, believe that there is nothing in the laws of physics that would prevent the creation of a true robot. For example, Claude Shannon, often called the father of information theory, was once asked the question, "Can machines think?" His reply was, "Sure." When he was asked to clarify that comment, he said, "I think, don't I?" In other words, it was obvious to him that machines can think because humans are machines, albeit ones made of wetware rather than hardware. Because we see robots depicted in the movies, we may think the development of sophisticated robots with artificial intelligence is just around the corner. The reality is much different. When you see a robot act like a human, usually there's a trick involved. That is, a man hidden in the shadows who talks through the robot via a microphone, like the wizard in The Wizard of Oz. In fact, our most advanced robots, such as the robot rovers on the planet Mars, have the intelligence of an insect. At MIT's famed Artificial Intelligence Laboratory, experimental robots have difficulty duplicating feats that even cockroaches can perform, such as maneuvering around a room full of furniture, finding hiding places, and recognizing danger. No robot on Earth can understand a simple children's story that is read to it. In the movie 2001, A Space Odyssey, it was incorrectly assumed that by 2001 we would have HAL, the super robot that can pilot a spaceship to Jupiter, chat with crew members, repair problems, and act almost human.